The paradox is unacceptable and unreasonable, but the international institutes, which are backing freedom of the press, have shown no reaction in this respect, because they themselves are under the supervision and domination of certain European countries, according to alternative media experts.
Using the media as a diplomacy tool is experiencing a challenging period. The reason is that the audience or the public opinion doesn't feel good about media independence to the ruling system. For example, if CNN viewers are told that the channel belongs to the White House, they no longer watch it. If the audience feel that Al Alam, a new channel, belongs to Iran's government, they won't watch it again. That will be the same regarding Al Arabiya, Al Jazeera, and other news channels. Therefore, today, the media that have at least some levels of independence succeed in having an impact on the audience. I say relative independence because no media have absolute independence. It's not feasible. It's a dream. All media have levels of dependence to their owners and policymakers.
There is plenty more right after a quick diversion into world media. Here is how it looks on the page. Elon Musk allows Donald Trump back on Twitter. Former President Donald Trump's Twitter account has been reinstated under the social media company's owner, billionaire Elon Musk. Musk polled Twitter users on Friday and Saturday, asking them whether Trump should be reinstated, and a narrow majority voted for Trump. On Saturday evening, Musk tweeted, "The people have spoken. Trump will be reinstated." Vox Populi, Vox Dei. The Latin phrase means the voice of the people is the voice of God. Twitter was the first platform to ban Trump after his supporters breached the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021, saying his tweets broke its rules against glorifying violence. That move was quickly followed by similar ones from Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Snapchat, Twitch, and other internet companies. BBC says, is this really the end of Twitter? Twitter today is awash with people saying goodbye. The hashtag #RestInPeaceTwitter is trending, and lots of the site's users are scrambling to download their data. They're also sharing alternative places to find them. Consumer champion Martin Lewis, who has 2 million Twitter followers, has set himself up on Mastodon, although he admits he doesn't know how to use it yet. Twitter's new boss Elon Musk, never one to ignore a trend, tweeted a meme of a gravestone with a Twitter logo on it. Tasnim News says, exclusive. Members of anti-Iran Saudi-funded TV channel banned from leaving UK. An informed security source told the Tasnim news agency that the British government has prohibited all of the staff members of the Iran International TV channel, also known as Saudi International in Iran, from leaving the country until further notice after some of them sent cooperation requests to work with Iranian intelligence agencies. Following Iran's declaration of the network as a terrorist organization, the managers of the Saudi-owned TV opposed a typical movement of its personnel outside the UK and expressed concern that some of them may return to Iran. Citing one of the people involved in the network, who is adamantly pursuing to return to Iran and end his career in the Saudi-owned terrorist-supporting channel, an informed security source revealed in a report by the Dedaban Strategic Institute that the employees of the network can neither for the World Cup nor spending holidays leave the UK until further notice, because the British security services are worried that the return of the network staff to Tehran will further tear the anti-Iran channel apart. Meanwhile, it appears that the US administration's sanctions frenzy has gone viral and is quickly spreading to its friends. A few days ago, the government of Canada has imposed sanctions on a wide range of Iranian institutions and persons, including the Press TV, over alleged rights violations following the recent foreign-backed riots in the country. As a response in a statement, the IRIB chief, Payman Jabeli, condemned sanctions on Press TV, saying this is not the first time the West has acted against its own claims of being the defender of the freedom of speech and expression.
International unions and international NGOs are amongst those that can play a role in restoring the rights of Press TV. In order to restore Press TV's rights, we should avoid relying merely on governmental mechanisms and entering indirect quarrels with the companies that have switched off Press TV satellite broadcastings. If we do that, we'll lose our audience. Imagine that we spent 3 years negotiating with one of those companies in order to get back on Sky Satellite. There is no benefit in doing so, and we'll only lose time. I think the solution is to circumvent official channels. Today, the world and communities do have such a potential.
The head of the Islamic Republic of Iran Broadcasting noted that Press TV is competing in an unequal arena compared to other networks which enjoy considerable support of Western governments. He emphasized that the latest sanctions indicate that the West is unable to tolerate Press TV's minimal presence.
Freedom of expression has become clear, at least in recent years, especially after the account of the former president of the United States was closed. Those who doubted whether there really are double standards, but have now come to the certainty that there is a double standard. Anyway, whenever they feel that your narrative is dangerous for mainstream media, they will stop it. The issue of Palestine is the most obvious example. In recent months, in all these Iran cases, they tried to ensure that all followers followed that mainstream narrative and only that would be published. And anything contrary to it that threatens stability should be suppressed.
Experts believe that sanctions imposed on Press TV by the US, the European Union, and earlier by the governments of Canada are aimed at muzzling free speech and alternative views. They have also highlighted the role played by Press TV during the recent unrest in Iran, as the news channel made a great effort to counter fake narratives fostered by Western media concerning Iran's rights.
In order to evaluate this action, we have to find out for what crime they sanction a media. First of all, sanctions in recent years have gradually become a tool of foreign policy, and hegemonic demands of the U.S. government and some Western European allies of the United States. The sanction tools are used when reasoning has failed, when peaceful tools for achieving goals don't exist. Sanctions are seen in the same light as wars and military efforts. But it gets shaped in a soft package. When does a war effort take place? In general, war attempts by the powers happen when achieving political purposes has failed by soft war. Therefore, they utilize coercive power. Depending on sanctions to shut down a media outlet is a kind of coercive effort. A coercive effort that functions outside of international laws, exactly like the unilateral military attempts by the US outside of the UN, Security Council criteria against governments, nations, and even individuals.
In addition to the mentioned media-related illegal sanctions, Google blocked Press TV access to their Gmail and YouTube back in April 2019. Although the latter remained active, no new content could be added. YouTube removed Press TV UK from its platform in January 2020. Press TV accused Google, which owns YouTube, of censorship. In April 2019, Press TV reported that Google blocked their access along with Hispan TV without prior notice, citing violation of policies, and that they received a message saying your Google account was disabled and can't be restored because it was used in a way that violates Google's policies. Although their YouTube channels remain open, no new content can be published. Press TV claimed that Google has refused to offer an explanation for shutting down the accounts and that they have not violated any of Google's listed policies.
As I said before, such an incident shows that the media outlet has had its influence and has been successful to some extent. But I have a reservation. This shouldn't be a justification for the TV channel to engage in costly and low-benefit challenges. If there is much at stake, there is no problem to fight for it. You present a just argument, broadcast a special documentary, and reveal a hidden reality. In this situation, it's worth paying the price, but you need to act more cleverly to prevent the enemies of Press TV from joining hands. In the world of media, we have sometimes paid heavy prices for a low-benefit measure. After reviewing Press TV's function over the past years, I recommend that we shouldn't give any excuses to those who block freedom of expression.
On June 22, 2021, the PressTV.com domain was seized from a company based in the United States by the United States Department of Justice, shutting down PressTV's website and the websites of other Iranian media outlets. The Department of Justice justified their act by stating that these sites were sources of Iranian-linked disinformation and that proper licensing had not been acquired from the Office of Foreign Assets Control for the use of the domains. Soon thereafter, PressTV changed the domain name for its website to use the .ir top-level domain and was back online.
The fact is that when we talk about the effectiveness of sanctions, we must pay attention that when we say sanctions are not effective, it means that the primary goals of that country have not been achieved. It does not mean that it has no effect on the subject country's economy, but about the recent sanctions, the main goal that they indirectly have mentioned in their various talks was the goal of overthrowing the government, but this was not achieved and did not work, or even force the Islamic Republic to sit at the negotiation table and give them points. Well, this has not been achieved either. But at the same time, the only effect it has had is that the common people are feeling the pressure, which is against all human rights discussions.
However, while the U.S. Justice Department statement is a bit vague, it does not appear that this seizure was the result of any content on PressTV itself. As a result of these efforts, Iranian officials have reached the conclusion that the psychological warfare against international networks of the Islamic Republic of Iran Broadcasting, IRIB, proves that these media outlets have been successful in conveying the message of the Islamic Revolution to the world public. Also, Iran's Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdullahian once again strongly rejected and condemned the recent sanctions targeting Iranian individuals and entities, saying they were baseless accusations that constitute a clear example of interference in Iran's domestic affairs.
The next point is that based on what committed crime sanctions are being used, did PressTV make any dissemination of inhumane values? Do the viewpoints it's expressing are interactive of human values in international community? Did it encourage violence? Did it condone terrorism? Did it violate the global order of public values? Whichever of these items we look at, we notice that there was no such a thing. So we can say this is like the unilateral coercive military actions of the U.S. against independent governments. It is against organizations that have acted the opposite of the U.S. This is how I view PressTV sanctions.
In 2009, Mehdi Hassan, writing for the New Statesman, argued that engaging with Iran, no matter who is in charge in Tehran, is a prerequisite for peace and progress in the region. The very fact that PressTV is Iranian-owned makes it the ideal English-language platform on which to do so. That's all for today. Thanks from the whole team. Do tune in again at the same time next week and each week after. Bye for now.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Current world order will be replaced by a new order where US is isolated, Asia powerful, resistance front expanded. This is the part of a speech delivered by the leader of the Islamic Revolution during a meeting with students on Wednesday, November 2nd, 2022. This meeting was held on the occasion of National Students' Day and National Day of Fighting Against Global Arrogance, which are commemorated on the 13th of Aban, 4th of November. The United States' domestic problems are unprecedented in the economic, social, and moral fields, as well as their internal conflicts and the blood-stained divisions inside the country. Another sign is also their miscalculation of the world's affairs. For example, 20 years ago, they attacked Afghanistan. The Taliban were in power at that time. In order to eradicate the Taliban, they invaded Afghanistan, spent money, committed crimes, had casualties, killed a lot of people, and so on.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
They stayed in Afghanistan for 20 years, and after 20 years, they were forced to exit Afghanistan, handing the country over to the Taliban. What does that imply? It shows their miscalculations. It shows that the calculation system in the United States is no longer an organized, orderly, and accurate system. They don't comprehend the issue well. They misunderstand them and act in a wrong manner as a result of this. Their attack on Iraq also ended in failure. The fact that you see elections in Iraq today where an Iraqi citizen is elected, this is not what the Americans wanted.
This is a special coverage of a live event.
Well, dear listeners, here we drop the normal course of our program to go live to Tehran's Imam Khomeini Hosseiniyeh. Their leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, is about to address the members of the Iranian voluntary force known as Basij. Nearly 5 million more Basij forces from across Iran will participate virtually in the gathering, which will be held to mark Basij Week in Iran. Let's take a listen.
And brave Basiji youth. And you are most welcome here at this place. You are so motivated, and I can see motivation in all of you. And I congratulate you on the arrival of Basij Week, and I also congratulate the whole Iranian nation on Basij Week. Basij is one of the best initiatives of the late Imam Khomeini. Of course, the late Imam had many great initiatives. Initiatives which have gone down in history, in the history of the country, and have made their presence felt in people's lives. And those initiatives triggered great movements in people's lives. But one of the greatest of these initiatives was the establishment of the Passage Force. Back in around 1979 or 1980, he announced that a 20 million strong army will be established in his famous speech. Then the Basij force was established upon the late Imam Khomeini's orders. That was in 1980. And the blessings brought by this initiative, by the Basij force, there were so many blessings that 9 years later, after the establishment of the Basij force, the late Imam Khomeini delivered that famous speech in praise of the Basij force. What had happened that during those 9 years? What had the Basij force done during those 9 years? The late Imam had been impressed, and the late Imam Khomeini used and actually delivered that famous speech after 9 years. Now I'd like to quote a few of those eloquent statements made by the late Imam. During that speech by the late Imam Khomeini talked to Basij people like a father talking to his sons. I'm quoting the late Imam. Basij is the school of love and the school of witnesses and anonymous martyrs who were martyred and with their lofty ideals. You see, these are very precious statements. It is a fruitful tree. Basij is a fruitful tree whose blossoms smell of spring and faith and love. Of course, I'm not quoting all of those statements. You can go and pay attention to, well, see, these statements are addressed to you. Then the late Imam said, I take pride in being a Basiji myself. The late Imam Khomeini, actually, he moved the whole world and history. He himself said that, I take pride in being a Basiji myself. And then the late Imam said, I kiss the hands of every single one of you. You see, these are not forgettable. Well, and these statements are addressed to you Basijis today. The late Imam Khomeini didn't talk about the Basiji forces in those years. He talked about Basijis in general. You Basijis and Basijis who will come after you. These statements are addressed to you all, to all Basijis. The late Imam says, I kiss the hands of all of you. And in the very same speech that the late Imam Khomeini delivered, Imam Khomeini announced the establishment of Basij force by students of seminary schools and university students. He called on university students and students at seminary schools, Islamic seminary schools, to form actually Besiege establishment themselves and ask them to join the Besiege force. This means that the Besiege force does not belong to the military arena only. It encompasses all fields, including science, religion, and the material realm. Besiege should be present in all scenes. This move, this initiative by the late Imam Khomeini, please pay attention. These are very important points. Actually, in fact, the late Imam Khomeini turned a threat to an opportunity by introducing this initiative. What was that threat? In 1980, the late Imam, when he announced the establishment of the Besiege force, and he ordered the establishment of the Besiege force, that meant that it happened around 20 days after the seizure of the former U.S. embassy in Tehran. The U.S. embassy had been seized a few days earlier, and after around 20 days, the late Imam Khomeini announced the establishment of the Besiege force. After the seizure of the U.S. embassy in Tehran by the student followers of the Imam line, by students, and then when students actually got their hands on secret documents inside the embassy, well, that made the Americans very angry. And after that, the Americans began to issue threats. They deployed their warships in the Persian Gulf. But instead of backing down or being afraid, usually leaders of countries, they back down and they retreat. Just upon the U.S. frowning, leaders of most countries, they retreat and they they are afraid. However, the late Imam Khomeini actually announced the establishment of the Besiege force. It was something like a public mobilization. That means the late Imam Khomeini turned that threat into an opportunity. So, as a result, the battlefield was not only limited to official or organizations like the army and all that. Rather, all people, the general public, was invited to join and to come onto the scene. That was one of the blessings of the late Imam Khomeini, that he turned threats into opportunities. There is an important point here, and I mentioned that, and that is, although the Besiege force made its presence felt in the military arena, of course, at the time when Imam Khomeini announced the establishment of the Besiege force, the Iraq war had not started yet. But years later, the Besiege force, Besiege troops were present during the war with Iraq. And in the true sense of the word, Besiege forces really supported official military organizations of the country, like the IRGC and the army. So, actually, it was a test for the Besiege force during the war, and it was a glorious test. However, Besiege force is not a military organization only. This is the most important point. So the Besiege force goes beyond simply a military body. Its status is much higher and loftier. Besiege is a culture. Besiege is a discourse. Besiege is a school of thought. And what is this school of thought? What is this culture? This culture includes actually really serving the people, honestly serving the people in an unassuming manner, in a modest manner. And Basij forces do not expect anybody to praise them. On numerous occasions, we have seen that actually Basij force has not received any finances or funds or facilities, because any move needs facilities and funding. However, Basij forces entered the scene without expecting anything and honestly offer services, and Basij forces put their lives on the line. This is the culture of Basij. What does the culture of Basij force? It means they are knee-deep in trouble, knee-deep in mud, in order to help flood-stricken victims, to rescue them. So Basij forces risked being afflicted by the coronavirus in order to save people affected by the coronavirus. The culture of Basij means being indefatigable, being tireless in serving the people. So an example of that was what we saw in that exhibition. It had been displayed. We saw what achievements they had secured, and of course they announced their readiness to offer services and all that. This is the culture of Basij. They didn't wait for others to praise them, to laud them. They entered the scene, they rolled up their sleeves, and in some cases they had some initiatives, and in very innovative ways they offered their services in the country. On the research and science front, Basij forces have been very successful in laboratories. Those who have been into research and science, Basij people, well, both when we were facing the coronavirus pandemic and on other occasions. One example of that is the our nuclear martyrs. They were Basij people. Another example, the late Kazemi. Late Kazemi was another example. And the apparatus that they devised, and other scientific and research work that they have done. Also, and also when it comes to confronting the enemy on the military front, bravely they have been on the scene, and they're not afraid of the enemy, and they don't allow the enemy to make any move. In any political, military, and scientific arena, they used everything available to them, all the resources available to them, and this is the culture of Basij. Being a Basij is the culture of anonymous people. The late Imam Khomeini also mentions that. It is the culture of people who take risks and they don't expect to be praised, and they offer services and they serve everybody. They serve the country. They sacrifice themselves to serve others. And even they are actually, they fall victim to save the oppressed. In the recent developments and events that you saw, Basij forces sacrifice themselves in order to save people from a bunch of rioters or mercenaries. They sacrificed themselves in order to confront oppression by others. They are not disappointed. This is another important part of the Basij culture. Basij forces are not disappointed. So this is a brief description of passage and passages. Of course, if you want to elaborate on this, we can talk and we can make more and more statements. But this is a brief description of passage. Okay, and it doesn't matter if passage people were born 30 years ago, 20 years ago, or whatever. All of them, different ages. Most of you are young now. Some of you have not seen Imam Khomeini, and you have no experience of the 1979 revolution, and you have no experience of the Iran-Iraq war. But you have the same spirit as the Basiji forces who were present during the war. So age doesn't matter. So some people talk about the generation gap and all that. These are some comments made by some intellectuals, but the reality is something else. The passage which we have today is the passage that we had 30 or 40 years ago. Another important point is that but today the country has the potential to train Basiji people and new Basiji people, actually. And Basiji also has the potential to actually accompany the country and help the country move forward with giant steps. So both the country is ready to train Basiji people, Basiji forces, and the Basiji force in turn, and all Basijis in general. I'll tell you about it later. We have organizational and non-organizational Basijis. The world of Basiji in our country stands ready to help develop the country and make the country progress. So we say the country has the potential to do it, but this potential has long been there. But this potential was actually subdued during the previous regimes before the revolution. The spirit of training Basijis with the same specifications, the spirit of being brave, confronting the enemy, this spirit also existed during the regimes before the revolution. But foreigners dominated the country and they cracked down on this spirit, or the governments were corrupt. I have written down some of them. For example, during the time foreign intervention. This belongs to the contemporary era. It is not very old. In Tabriz, Sheikh Mohammad Khiabani, he is a Basiji in one sense of the word. He rose up and he was martyred. In Mashhad, Mohammad Taghi Khan Pasyan, the same. Unfortunately, you don't know the story of their lives. You should read books to learn about them. In Rasht, Mirza Kuchik Khan Jangali. In Isfahan, Agha Najafi and Agha Jawanurullah. In Shiraz, Mr. Hatan Hussein Lari and some other clergymen, Sheikh Jafar Mahallati and others. In Bushehr, Reis Ali Dehwari. And, of course, they have made a movie based on the story of his life. And in other places, we have many examples. I have just written down these few. Most of them were actually oppressed, except for one or two. Most of them were suppressed. Nobody actually helped them, or governments created hurdles for them. So the spirit of Basiji has existed. But during the revolution, the Islamic revolution, this potential increased because the Islamic Revolution gave people hope. It actually, as they said, the revolution helped, resulted in victory against the regime, the Pahlavi regime. And that revolution strengthened the spirit of Basiji. The late Imam Khomeini, he was leading the country. Actually, the late Imam Khomeini was leading, was spearheading the movement, and he breathed a new life into the spirit of Basiji, and this potential was actualized. During the Holy Defense era, the Iran-Iraq war, as I said, Basiji forces were actively present. And, of course, part of, actually, of course, we were also present in part of that front, that battle front. But you can see some of them have been mentioned in the books. But the things that you see in these books, they can tell you a lot about what happened during those years. The people who were martyred and those who were present in the war against Iraq, there were some great people, some maybe they were not commanders, but they were simply Basijis, but they were great people. They were great. So people are, we are stunned by looking, by reading those stories. This was in the battlefront. On the scientific front, we have actually scientists working in the nuclear field, in the stem cell research, and in other areas. So today, we have millions of official Basiji forces. They are working at the Basiji force, and we have millions of non-official Basijis. There are young people who are present at mosques, in schools, universities, in different places. They are doing the same thing as Basijis do, as official Basijis do. They are Basijis, but they are not officially actually recruited by the Basiji force. And as far as the phenomenon of Basiji is concerned, we should talk about the phenomenon of Basiji in the Muslim world. We have millions of Basijis in the Muslim world. They don't know our language, and neither do we. But the language of our hearts is the same. We have the same language by heart. And this is one of the blessings of Basiji. And they have the same mentality as our Basijis. This is the legacy of the late Imam Khomeini, and this legacy remains and remains today and will remain in the future, and we will see its fruit. One of the statements made by the late Imam is that he has described Basiji as the pure tree. It is also mentioned in the Holy Quran, a pure tree. This is also mentioned in the Holy Quran. The leader is reciting verses from the Holy Quran. The features of a pure tree is that a pure tree actually yields its fruit in all areas. And I'm going to tell you some of the actual fruit yielded by this tree. First, in any period of time, the presence of Basiji shows the vitality of the Islamic Revolution, much to the chagrin of those who wouldn't like to see or hear the name of the revolution, to the dismay of those who don't like the revolution, the presence of Basiji shows that the Islamic Revolution is alive. So a fruit of the message, actually phenomenon, is that it shows the revolution is alive. The second, the spirit that we talked about, I mean, actually offering services without expecting anything in return and serving the people anonymously. So this could actually result in great leaps in the country. Work which is done not to be praised or not in order to expect anything in return. So what Basit does is actually services offered without expecting anything in return, and this helps the country's development. Third, Basit, in any activity it does, it pays attention to actually spirituality, the element of spirituality is present in all work. A prominent scientist at the Stem Cell Research Center, when he secures an achievement, he actually he thanks God Almighty. And this is what some of those scientists told me. When they secured a scientific achievement, they thank God and they begin to cry. One of these nuclear scientists told me that we had problems with something. We were working on a problem, and he told me that he and his colleague, they went to the prayer room and they began to say prayers and worshiping God. After that, all of a sudden, he said that, it all crossed my mind and the problem is solved. You see, in a scientific area, they don't forget God. These scientists say their prayers and worship God. So spirituality is associated with whatever the passages do. Fourth, in addition to being pragmatic, they are also idealistic. They are both idealistic and pragmatists. You see, passage people, they just talk the talk, but they walk the walk. But in addition to being practical, they are not confined by pragmatism. They also move towards ideals. It is a big danger to forget ideals. So if I want to enumerate these fruits, there are a lot. But I just told you a few of them. These are the blessings of Basit. Now we talked so much about Basit, and we quoted the late Imam Khomeini, and I mentioned some of the statements made by Imam Khomeini. Now, all of them happen on the condition that you maintain your spirit of being a Basiji, the Basiji spirit. Don't become proud. You see, we clergymen, if we preserve and maintain the spirit of being a clergyman, it's okay. But if we forget that, you see, the late Imam Khomeini also reminded all officials and clergymen that actually maintain the spirit of being a student, a clergy student, like the one studying at an Islamic seminary school. Don't forget to recite the Holy Quran as much as you can. As much as you can, recite the Holy Quran, and also read the biographies of martyrs. Many books have been published with that subject, with the subject of martyrs. So, another point I'd like to mention is the status of Basij. I do insist that Basijis appreciate the value of Basij and recognize the status of Basij and get to know the philosophy behind the existence of Basij. What does Basij do? And who are you dealing with? Well, of course, a few rioters in the streets. Are you? Is Basij there only to deal with a bunch of rioters on the streets? In the political geography of the Islamic world, Basij has a high status and has a great position. Let me explain. Look, of course, intellectuals, you, young people, you should pay attention and think about this. Not now, but follow this issue. Follow these issues and study books, have discussions, dialogue, think about that. The Western colonialist front has adopted a certain approach toward this area. They call it the Middle East, but this is actually the West Asia region. After the two world wars, the Western colonialism, first Europe and then the U.S., they have adopted a certain approach toward this region. Why? Because this is an important region. The most important, actually, the most important factor which turns the wheels of the Western industry is oil. And the hub of oil is in this region. The West Asia region, it connects the East and the West. It connects Asia and Europe and Africa in terms of, actually, strategically speaking, actually, that's what we say, strategically speaking, this is very important. So they have set their eyes on this region. Western colonialists, and of course, at that time, they began to loot the riches of some countries, and they had gained some wealth, and they had also made some scientific progress, and then they also had some modern weapons. They were focusing on the West Asia region. So, the usurper Israeli regime, that's why they created the usurper Israeli regime in this region as a base for the West. Actually, it served as a base first for Europe and then for the U.S. so that they could use it to secure their domination over this region in order to pit countries against one another, to wage wars, to impose their ideas, to loot the wealth of countries. And that's why they created the Israeli regime. So they had set their eyes on this region. And in this region, in the West Asia region, and there is Iran is the most important part of this region. Iran is the most important of all countries in this region. Iran is the most important one because it has more wealth than all other countries. Oil, natural gas, natural resources. So, and also Iran is actually a crossroads, is a actual corridor. It connects the East and the West and the North and the South. And and Iran has always been considered as the crossroads of the region. It is a corridor. So they made investments. They tried to first the UK. Started to actually infiltrate into Iran, and they tried to absorb mercenaries and supporters, you see. And the UK tried to actually make some mercenaries for themselves in Iran. It's a long story, actually, but not much has been said about that. We have seen them. And we have seen them, we have seen these things for ourselves. Afterwards, the United States began to enter the scene. First, the U.S. claimed that it was going to help during the Truman when Thayer. So Article 4 talks about assistance and help. They claimed that they were going to help, but then they gained a foothold, and they set aside others and weakened other rivals, and they secured their domination over Iran, and everything was in their hands at that time. And if you read the memoirs of politicians during the Pahlavi regime, you see that even the Mohammad Reza Pahlavi, he himself was a puppet of the United States. Even he had some complaints about this, but he wasn't brave enough to say that. He had some grievances about the U.S. presence in Iran, because the U.S. resorted to blackmail and they had secured their domination, so much so that even Mohammad Reza Shah had grievances about that. And also, as for other countries in the Middle East, the same goes for other countries in the Middle East. The interference by colonialists, of course, it was not only the Westerners. The former Soviet Union also intervened in countries. But the former Soviet Union had no domination over Iran. It wanted to infiltrate into Iran through some dissident groups and all that. You should see them, you should read them in contemporary history. But this former Soviet Union had more domination over countries such as Syria and Iraq. However, the West had secured its domination. It wanted to infiltrate into the country. But, for example, France was present in Lebanon and all that. And there were some other Western countries. This is what I'm talking about, is the situation of the country and the region before the 1979 Islamic Revolution. So here, Iran was the focal point. The 1979 Islamic Revolution actually tipped the balance against their favor. It was a deadly blow to the colonialist policy. The Islamic Revolution of Iran was dealt a deadly blow to their policies, and they were confused. A few months before the victory of the Islamic Revolution, the U.S. president was visiting Iran, and he said that this place, that is Iran, is a safe haven. He had described Iran as a safe place, as a safe zone. A few months later, the Islamic Revolution of Iran emerged victorious. So they were taken by surprise. That's how the revolution actually appeared and actually forced them into a corner and confused them. And that's what the Islamic